Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello and welcome back to the latest Liverpool Echo Blood Red Podcast. We've got the same panel as this time last week, I think, and some similar issues to discuss as well. Paul Gorse, David Lynch and Kiefer McDonald all alongside myself, Matt Addison, and we'll spend the next half an hour or so trying to work out what Liverpool do next once again. We'll have a little bit of a chat around the FA Cup replay as well before at the end of the show. We'll pick our teams for that game. But Gorse, let's start with Brighton. You were obviously down there on the south coast and I think it was fairly predictable, to be honest, which in itself is a bit of a concern, really. But I suppose it wasn't quite predictable that they would be quite that bad. Was this a new low, do you think, for Liverpool this season?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's probably the worst thing about it all, Matt, is we were heading down on Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning, actually, and you're just thinking Liverpool probably won't win this and it's probably going to be a really difficult afternoon and Brighton are favourites and all that kind of rolled into one just kind of sums up how desperate it's got for Liverpool this season. I was thinking of full-time, is this, you know, where does this rank in terms of the bad results that Liverpool have had under Jurgen Klopp, and there've been kind of heavier defeats and whatever else, but normally there was at least some mitigation around those performances and results, and this one it didn't have any at all. You know, I think the first one that came to my head was the 4-1 defeat to Tottenham in, when was it, October 2017, I think, and that was just a bit of an off day and Liverpool were so poor defensively, but they still had that thing where they hadn't bought the centre-back in the summer and it was still kind of leaving them a little bit hamstrung at times, and we knew that Van Dijk was possibly just around the corner, and you know, every other kind of disappointing result that they've had has either been a little bit of an aberration, an off day. You know, when they were beating 3-0 at Watford in, when was it, February, was it, 2020, Liverpool were about 25 points clear at the time and you could forgive them for that one. But this one was just in keeping with much of what's happened over the last, you know, 4 or 5 months. And this was probably the worst of the lot. I thought Brighton thoroughly deserved to win 3-0. Probably should have been more. Liverpool were lucky to get into the break at 0-0. And that was something that Klopp recognised himself. And he thought, okay, we're a little bit fortunate here. But at 0-0 at half-time, now's a chance to shake that off and go and put in a better performance and maybe we can still come away with something from this. But Liverpool got absolutely nothing and they didn't deserve anything, to be honest. You know, I was at Brentford as well and that was a bad one. But this was a lot worse. Brighton, you know, for all the plaudits that they deservedly get, whether it's Graham Potter in charge or Roberto De Zerbi now or whoever has been the manager over the last few years, they do play a lot of good football and get credit for it. But they're not one of the division's top sides, are they? This isn't going away to a top six side. They're a team who, while they do play good football, they are beatable. And Arsenal showed that, when was it? New Year's Eve, was it? So just a hugely disappointing setback. And as you say, it was a bit of a new low. And you're left thinking, you know, possibly excuses of injuries aside up top. You know, you're looking and thinking, it's still a top Liverpool team on paper. So where did he go from here? And you didn't really know where to start. You're hoping that Jurgen Klopp does, but I don't know what the solution is. And I think, as I said last week, it goes beyond more than just we need the midfielder. You know, as supporters have been saying for weeks and months, I think Liverpool need a whole lot more than just the, you know, one addition or maybe even two additions. They need almost a complete reboot and some energy levels from somewhere. And I don't really know how you go about fixing that.
Yeah, I think Jurgen Klopp said it was the worst performance of his career, and he seemed a little bit shocked on the sidelines at certain points. There was a shot on the TV of him sort of there with his mouth open, wondering quite what was happening in front of him. But I kind of see that to a certain extent. He wouldn't have thought that his players were going to put in quite such a bad performance. But at the same time, it's not like this hasn't been coming.
Yeah, I don't really know why he was surprised, because I think I had a similar feeling to Gorsi ahead of the game. So I was telling anyone who'd listen that I thought Liverpool were going to get turned over quite handily, and they weren't in the end. It wasn't surprising at all, just because Brighton do a lot of the things that Liverpool don't like, in terms of, you know, they've got that physicality in midfield and they can hit a ball in behind you quickly and accurately when they do have space in midfield. And that's just exactly how it played out. So really sure what Jurgen Klopp was expecting. I mean, sometimes you've got to take what he says in public and in the press with the pinch of salt, I suppose. And, you know, he's never really going to come out and go into the truth behind why things are going so poorly. But if he was being truthful there in terms of he expected more, then I'm not really sure why, because these are long-standing issues, and you know it's getting to the point where you want to see a little bit more mitigation from his side of things. We do know that maybe there's a slight fitness deficit there, a bit of exhaustion in the squad from what they did last season, and you know you probably do need some fresh legs in that midfield, even if that's not going to solve completely all the problems. But I think I said on the podcast before it that I would have liked to see. I don't want to see Liverpool go there and try and do the same things that they're trying to do all the time. I know he sort of slightly switched it up in terms of setup, but I mean, in terms of still holding that high line, still expecting to be able to press like they used to. I just think we just got to accept that that's not going to happen this season. And, you know, would have liked to just see more from the manager in terms of learning, you know, that's not a viable option tactically at the moment. You know, maybe this, you know, with him saying he didn't expect this, maybe this will be the straw that broke the camel's back and we'll see a bit of a slightly deeper defence and more of a sort of a counter-attacking approach for the rest of the season. Because we know he can coach that as well. He's done it before with Liverpool. While, you know, in the early stages, it wasn't this really aggressive high line, compress the pitch completely. It wasn't really like, you know, as extreme as that. So, you know, maybe hopefully it'll be a little bit of a wake-up call on that front. But yeah, it came as no surprise to all of us, I suppose.
Yeah, it was interesting that the change that he did try and make, Kiefer, was to kind of go with a two and then Thiago in front of them. It was still the same midfield three, though, so it shouldn't really be a massive surprise that the same players put in a similar sort of performance and it didn't quite work. I mean, what do you think that the fix is? I don't know whether playing the same personnel was the right thing, but, you know, what ultimately are the alternatives at the moment? I'm not sure there's anything obvious that you'd look at and say, well, do that and it'll all be good again.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, isn't it? I think, you know, I was certainly surprised to see the same personnel as obviously last week, and I can understand it to an extent that obviously they had the week off between the two games, so you can maybe, you know, factor in that. But, you know, I thought Kate had done well in recent weeks since he's kind of come back, and I thought maybe, you know, if there was a game, you know, to kind of match Brighton's energy, you know, obviously, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Casado, and obviously we've all seen what McAllister can do during the World Cup. I just thought everyone, as David says, everyone kind of knew what to expect from Brighton. You know, they're a well-coached team, and I thought this would have been, you know, a game maybe to change it up, and obviously he didn't, and obviously, like you said, it was that tweaking personnel. And I mean, to be fair, I spent the first half working out what formation they were trying to play, and I think the players did as well, because it just looked so disjointed. There were so many gaps, and then obviously that kind of, you know, goes back into the defence, doesn't it, with the gaps between the lines. And obviously, you know, Mitoma had a field day, didn't he, and so did March, you know, kind of just running in behind, and it was just relentless. And, you know, no disrespect, but when you've got like a 34-year-old Adam Lallana, you know, who left Liverpool what, two, three years ago, running the game, it kind of undermines, you know, the massive problem that there is with Liverpool at the moment. It's just the basics. I mean, the third goal of just tracking runners. I mean, I don't care kind of how many games you've played last season, and that kind of effect, that is the basics to an extent. So I think obviously there was, as Gorsi said, there's so many worrying signs, and I'm not entirely sure what he does do, because obviously we've seen in the first half of the season that he has gone for, you know, 4-4-2 or 4-2-3-1. We've seen, you know, a range of different formations, but, you know, he always seems to come back to this 4-3-3, which obviously has, you know, been unbelievable for Liverpool over the last 7 or 8 years. But I just think, as David says, maybe you stick with it and maybe drop that line 5 or 10 yards deeper, because especially in the absence of Van Dijk, and as I say, you know, you've got two wingers who are willing to run in behind, like March and Mitoma, where, you know, it's going to be a long day for those defenders. And that was certainly the case on Saturday. So I know we'll pick a team later, but I'm really not sure how he plays tomorrow, because on the one hand, you know, you can go full strength and kind of get a statement victory, if you want to call it that. But I don't think that changes anything, because, you know, it's still the same players. It's still the same issues. It's obviously largely papering over the cracks as kind of was the case before the World Cup break. So, you know, I think it is obviously really interesting. And then obviously if you do get through tomorrow, you're going back to Brighton again and you kind of face those same problems. So it's certainly not a simple fix. And I thought it was quite telling that on Friday, it was the first time that he really said about last season and kind of openly admitted that. And obviously, as Dave says, you know, take everything what he says with a pinch of salt. Obviously, he wouldn't have just realised that, you know, in the first week of January. But, you know, if that is the case, then you would think that he would give players like Keita, you know, some time, because obviously, you know, look, you look who played the run-in last season. It was obviously Henderson, Thiago. I know Keita played a few games, but it was largely that midfield three. And that back five obviously was so solid. And, you know, you had players like Elliot and Curtis Jones who didn't really get a look in. So he has got, I know he hasn't got, you know, the options that he would like in terms of, you know, Diaz, Jota and all those and Nunes obviously at the weekend. But I just think if you are kind of admitting that, you know, there is a huge hangover at the club from last season, maybe to switch things up wouldn't be a bad idea, because, you know, as Henderson said after the game, there's no confidence in the squad. You know, so you'd expect a change of personnel, but I'm sure we'll see.
Yeah, the confidence point is what I was going to come to next, actually, Gorsty, because, I mean, like what Keith has said there, you've looked at Adam Lallana going through and sort of dancing around some of these players at certain times. It's not just an age thing and a sort of exhaustion thing. It's not just a tactical thing. The confidence looks on the floor, and I thought it was really interesting that I think Jurgen Klopp and Jordan Henderson as well, they both kind of mentioned that at the end, and that's not an easy thing to fix either.
It's not, no. We spoke about it on Friday, didn't we? About Liverpool just kind of taking baby steps and just building, making a good start, building on that, slowly but surely getting a bit of momentum and a bit of rhythm, a bit of confidence. And then you might be in a position where you can, you know, put a little bit of a run, you know, win a game and then put a bit of a run together. But it's just not happening, is it? It's, I think from what I can remember writing Saturday at Brighton was, I think Liverpool have conceded now in 21 of the last 35 games, dating back to the back end of last season. And that is a shocking statistic, really. Liverpool are putting themselves in a position where they're having to score two to win games. And at the moment, they're just not firing at all, are they? They're not really creating too much in the final third. And if you're going into that with, you know, a goal down, then more often than not, you're not going to get anywhere. And it's been a really poor run of games, hasn't it, for Liverpool since the restart. Obviously, they're a little bit unlucky at Manchester City in the Carabao Cup, but, you know, played well in part against Aston Villa, but against Leicester, were so lucky to come away with victory in that one. And then since then, it's just been a shambles, hasn't it? We've had Brentford and then the Wolves game, which they should have been knocked out of the FA Cup. They shouldn't even have been given the opportunity to play this game tomorrow night. And then, obviously, Saturday afternoon, they've conceded 13 goals in six games, which is shocking, really, isn't it? When you think of what Liverpool have been built on in recent times with the defence. You know, Klopp said it a few times about defending properly and everything starts from a successful defence. And they absolutely don't have that at the moment. They haven't got much protection in front of them either. And it's just the players seem to be starting games as though they're playing in extra time. I think I might have mentioned that on Friday's pod. They just seem to be so bereft of energy. You know, it's as though they've been playing continuously, you know, as though they didn't get a pre-season or even a mid-season break. They've just been playing and playing and playing, and the legs are shot. And considering we're only halfway through the season, that is a massive worry. And even more so when you hear Klopp saying that they're not going to be doing any business in the window. He was asked about it again today, albeit, you know, Alan Irwin, who asked the question, did try to kind of phrase it in a different way, because I think if he'd mentioned the T word, then Klopp would have jumped down his throat in a similar way to the way he did Karl Markham on Friday. But it, essentially, you know, Klopp saw through it. He knew what was getting asked, and he said, you know, why do we keep going on about transfers? I realise you might have to ask me while the window's open, but essentially, stop asking me because nothing's happening. And where do Liverpool go from here? I'm really not sure.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, what sort of solutions, Lynchy, do you think that Jurgen Klopp could try? I know we talked about it. I think you did a newsletter for us on Liverpool.com around having to make a few changes and maybe do one or two things that he probably doesn't really want to do. He might just have hit the point now where those things have to suddenly be worth a try. What sort of things would you be hoping to see against Wolves and obviously Chelsea next weekend as well? What changes do you think Liverpool can make to try and get back to what they need to be doing?
I think, like I said, just maybe dropping that line a touch. I think, you know, I totally understand why managers don't want to do that in terms of like compromising the tactical philosophy, because it, you know, the message it sends, and you know, they want to say that this is the way that Liverpool play football, and this is what, you know, potential players, if they want to join, this is what you're coming into, and this is our identity, and if you've got a solid identity, it's much easier for players who are coming in new to adapt to it as well, because they have an idea from the outside what this sort of Klopp football at Liverpool should look like. But I just think if you just carry on doing this with the players you've got and the way that those players are playing, I mean, like, you know, he's got an awful lot of individual talent there, and I think they should be playing much better than they are, but clearly there's some sort of physical problem there that isn't allowing them to press like they were. So if you're a yard short, it just kills you. It's so easy to play through. So yeah, just dropping the line, dropping the, not just the defensive line, because obviously then you create huge gaps. I mean, that maybe the whole team, and just as a starting point, say, okay, we're not going to go to Wolves on Tuesday and try and be this hugely dominant team that we've been, you know, for the majority of last season, for example, or when they were absolutely at the peak in sort of 2018, 2019. We're going to be a team that is very, very hard to get through, to play through initially. We're going to close all those spaces and be quite tight. And then, you know, Liverpool, they haven't got an awful lot of options in attack, or not the options they want, but they've got an incredible amount of pace up front. So we know they can play in a counter-attacking way. Like I said, it's something they've done in the Klopp before, and they know how to play that style of football. So I just think, you know, they were almost forced to become that dominant team by teams adapting their tactics to them, you know, later down the line. And that's why they switched to that sort of solidifying the midfield and playing through the fullbacks and just trying to have the load of the ball all the time. And stopping counters constantly. But, you know, I think teams have worked them out a little bit now. So there's an opportunity to just flip that and just be, like I say, just difficult to beat. That is a starting point, will allow confidence to grow. And there is, you know, the players are there to play in a counter-attacking way and to break at pace. You know, Liverpool have got that. So I just think you have to try something different, because it's, you know, they've tried so many times now to get back to the best version of themselves. And I just don't think it's going to happen this season. And I'm not saying even that this change of tactics would necessarily, you know, make them go on an incredible run and get top four. I just think it's about, just in the short term, just trying to stabilize the results. You know, can you go to Wolves and get a 0-0 draw and not get hit on the counter every 5 minutes? That would be sort of a nice change, and just gives you something to build on.
Yeah, I think it's certainly something that I'd be looking at, Keith, in terms of that counter-attacking stuff, just to even just get to 0-0 at 60. And if you said to me tomorrow night it's 0-0 on the hour mark, I'd absolutely take that already. I think that's kind of the point that we're at really with Liverpool at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Dave was quite right in what he's saying. You know, when they had the defensive crisis 2 years ago, they did that as well to an extent, didn't they? I think it was after that Newcastle game where they lost at Anfield, drew at Anfield, didn't they, later on? And then after that, they kind of went on that kind of inspired run for the last 5-6 weeks of the season. And largely that was, you know, after initially trying to play Kabak and Phillips in a high line, they dropped it. And I think Kabak missed the end of that season through injury. But it was, you know, Fabinho and Phillips, and then obviously Williams came in late on. But, you know, obviously they didn't have the pace that, you know, Van Dijk and Gomez had the previous season. But, you know, Klopp was able to kind of, you know, swallow his pride in that sense and drop the defence. And you feel that's kind of, you know, as David says, something Liverpool do need this season, you know. And, you know, it didn't affect them the following season. They were, you know, obviously they got the defenders back, and you know we all know how last season, you know, went. But, you know, just in the short term and kind of with the, what's at stake now, I mean, the 10 points off at the top four, so, you know, it is a huge ask already. But you feel it's, you know, I think what is 19 games gone or 18 games gone, so you're not even at the halfway mark of the season, so it still feels retrievable, you know, only slightly. I think, you know, if you get to the end of January and you're still 10 points adrift, maybe it's a bigger ask, but think with the games coming up, I think Tottenham go to United next week or vice versa. So that's, you know, a game that, you know, you're looking at and thinking, you know, someone's going to drop points there. Newcastle, I know they got the late winner yesterday, but, you know, they seem to in recent weeks be finding it, you know, difficult to come up against, you know, teams who are playing a low block and maybe showing signs of, you know, not faltering, but, you know, certainly a more difficult period than they've enjoyed so far. So, you know, it does feel like there is a slight opportunity there. The door is slightly ajar and would really just do need to make the most of it. And, you know, it's not something you want to look back on in 6 weeks when you're at the start of March and think that, you know, the season's gone and then, you know, you start winning a couple of games. It is really now Liverpool needs to put a run of some sense together. And, you know, I don't think it would be a massive asset, David says, to compromise that slightly, because, you know, the proof is there that it has worked, you know, earlier in Klopp's reign and obviously more recently, you know, 2 years ago. So I think if you can kind of make do with that, and then obviously you've got, you know, Van Dijk coming back, and you may be going into the spring and you've got the two forwards coming back, and obviously hopefully Nunes obviously in the short term will be back as well. You would expect that of it, obviously, when you had Jota and Diaz, who are, you know, two of Liverpool's best presses, that, you know, it will be far better than it was yet on Saturday. But it just feels like this season is on the verge now of becoming a write-off, you know, if you kind of put Europe to one side. So I really just do think, you know, they need to kind of get a grip of it, get a hold of it, and maybe that can start tomorrow by, you know, a change of philosophy or a change of approach and you know, bring that into Chelsea or whatever, because, you know, that's, I know Chelsea are, you know, 10th or wherever they are on the table, but that's a massive game in terms of, they've still got quality there, they've still got, you know, world-class players, you know, in a similar kind of, you know, situation to Liverpool. But, you know, it's a big statement if you go and beat Chelsea on Saturday. I know it doesn't change the whole complexion of the season, but, you know, that talking about confidence and winning breeds confidence, I think, you know, you could, this is certainly not a bad place to start. And then, you know, the next home game is the derby, and then after that Real Madrid. So, you know, if you can certainly start putting the foundation in, you know, at the end of this week with, you know, a change of style or a change of approach, you know, it certainly won't be a bad time to do it.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, certainly some big matches coming up that Liverpool are going to have to improve their form on. Just before we move on to the FA Cup properly, Gorsty, just to finish, you mentioned the transfer point earlier on. It doesn't look like Liverpool are going to do anything before the end of the month. Obviously, Cody Gakpo has come in and obviously found it hard to come into a team that's performing as it is at the moment. I mean, we've said it a few times, really. It doesn't really feel like a signing would particularly find it easy to come in and transform the midfield, but it does really feel like it. At the same time, if they don't do one, nothing is really going to change. Is there any hope, do you think, in the next couple of weeks of that stance changing from Liverpool? Or do you think when Jurgen Klopp says it's unlikely, it really is just at that point?
I think if he had his way, he would, but I don't necessarily think it's up to him, is it? You know, he mentioned on Friday about hinted at the money issue being a problem, and he hinted in August that sometimes he would like to take more risks. And, you know, if they've just spent the best part of 40 million on Cody Gakpo, maybe there's nothing left in the pot. So we'll see. I think when, I don't know whether I mentioned this on Friday, but whether, you know, when Liverpool are willing to take kind of last gasp, you know, emergency last ditch moves for the likes of Arthur Melo, and they've done it previously with Ozak Kabak and even Ben Davis to an extent, you can't really rule anything out anymore, because it is a similar kind of need at the moment. You know, obviously when Liverpool signed those two centre backs 2 years ago, they didn't have any fit senior centre backs, so they had to do something. They absolutely had to do something. But when they signed Arthur Melo, that was kind of done off the back of Henderson's injury at Newcastle, and they brought him in, you know, really quickly, really. I think they started making calls after midnight on transfer deadline day, and he obviously signed that day. But it's difficult to kind of second-guess them at the moment. Klopp's obviously fronting up in public and saying that the business is done, but Liverpool are always looking, and if something comes available later on, who knows? But you know, I certainly do think it'd be like putting a plaster over a gaping wound at the moment. It wouldn't necessarily do the job, but I think they still have to look and still have to try and do something, because we've seen Liverpool's best midfield on paper, for me anyway, on paper the last two games, offer up next to nothing, particularly in that game against Brighton. Thought Henderson was absolutely awful. Thiago wasn't too far behind him, and Fabinho's curious malaise just goes on. You wonder now, has Fabinho been out of form for as much time as he's been in form for Liverpool, if that's not being a little bit too harsh? But, you know, if you ask the supporters, they absolutely have to, they would say something absolutely has to be done this month. But you know, don't mean that Liverpool don't always do what looks like the obvious thing. So we'll wait and see. And I wouldn't rule anything out at the moment, except for maybe Jude Bellingham.
Yeah, it's certainly a tricky situation, isn't it? I mean, it's one of those that Jurgen Klopp admitted in the summer they needed a midfield signing. They went and got Arthur, and we haven't really seen him since. Not much has changed. I'm sure, you know, the feeling is there that they probably do need one. It's just a case of whether one of those can arrive in the next couple of weeks. But we shall see. We'll move on to the FA Cup. We'll come on and pick teams in just a second. But just before we do that, Lynch, I mean, just in terms of the Cup, I'm sure, you know, for Wolves as much as for Liverpool, they probably didn't want to have to play this game tomorrow night. I'm sure there'll be a few changes within both of these teams. But does this almost become an important game for Liverpool off the back of what happened on Saturday? They really need to put in a performance and do something, because, like Kiefer said before, you've got Chelsea and Real Madrid and Everton and a couple of these games coming up. They really do need one to kind of turn it around. Whether Wolves can be that, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's looking like the only hope of getting a trophy in this season as well, if there is some recovery from somewhere, but also just vitally important to have another game in front of them where there's a possibility they might play well, that they might, you know, show a little bit of something that hasn't been there in recent weeks. And, you know, Wolves will change things up again. I'm sure about that. Their priority is staying in the league. So there's an opportunity there for Liverpool to, you know, show a bit more. But I suppose the big question is whether Jurgen Klopp himself sees this as an important one to make changes again. If, you know, what we've said so many times in this podcast about, is it a physical issue that's there? And, you know, if that's the main problem with Liverpool this season, and if it is, then putting more games into the legs probably isn't going to help. So, you know, it could be that he also puts out a bit of a crazy team, really, and one that, you know, maybe wouldn't expect to win. So, yeah, it feels massive, but I'm not sure that the team selection is possibly going to reflect that. And then, yeah, it could be any sort of performance, really. It's difficult to know what to expect at the minute.
Yeah, really, really hard to predict, isn't it? Just before we finish then, let's pick our teams for that replay with Wolves. Jurgen Klopp said there would be changes in his press conference, but there's only really James Milner and Stefan Bacetic who are back from injury. Gorsley, I'll come to you first. I mean, Alisson played in the first game, didn't he? Would you expect him to play? And do you want to talk us through what your back four is as well?
Yeah, I don't really see any need to change the goalkeeper. Back four... it's a tough one, is it? I think I'm going to go Gomez at right back. The two centre backs can stay as they are. Simakash at left back, and that's me back five.
Yeah, I'm fairly similar. I'm going to keep Trent in, maybe go Gomez, and then Konate possibly, and Simakash at left back. Kiefer, which way are you going to go with it?
Yeah, I've gone similar to you, Matt. Well, I've gone the exact same, actually. Keep Trent in. Let Matt sit out of this one. Obviously, he had a difficult time on Saturday. Obviously, at fault for the first goal with a sloppy pass. Obviously, you'd imagine to come straight back in for Chelsea. Obviously, it's been a difficult season for Joe Gomez, and especially, you know, with every game now looking like it's a must-win. So I'd probably just do that in the sense of getting him some minutes and maybe just taking Matip out ahead of, you know, as we touched on some big games. So Matip and Konate, and then Kostas for Robbo at left back.
David, which way for you?
Yeah, I wonder whether he'll just go Kelleher, just in the acknowledgement that this isn't, I don't know, I don't think he's possibly going to see the FA Cup as something he really wants to go for now. You know, he'll maybe see this game as a little bit of an inconvenience, so maybe just throws Kelleher in. I've written that down just for, just to give him a game and keep him involved. And then the back four, I've written down here, Milner, Gomez, Matip, Tsimikas. I put Matip in ahead of Konate just on the basis that he came off earlier at Brighton. I know it was because he was playing poorly, but, you know, in terms of managing their minutes or whatever, and Konate, you know, you can pick up injuries from time to time. So maybe that's, maybe just go to Gomez, Matip in there and yeah, Milner at right back just to give Trent a rest.
Yeah, I think all of these selections pretty much point to exactly why neither of these teams wanted a replay. But I'll stick with you for the midfield, Lynchy. Which way do you want to go with that?
Yeah, again, a bit of an experimental one of just looking at who's not started the last games, who needs minutes, and gone with Jones, Cater, and Bajcetic.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Harvey Elliott. I think Elliott, Bajcetic, and Cater, Gorsty, midfield three for you.
And do you know what? I'm going to bring James Milner back in because, just for the honesty, the basics of running about and getting stuck in a little bit, which has just been so sorely needed. And it's maybe a little bit Sunday league, but needs must at the moment. So I'm going to put Milner in there. Keita, see what he can do with the start. First 90 minutes or first start of the season, would it be, I think. And then let's go with Harvey Elliott.
Kiefer, same or different for you?
It's a bit of a toss-up, really. Toss-up between Jones and Elliott for the final place. I'd probably edge with Elliott. I know, obviously, Jones has kind of, you know, played a few under-21s games, obviously just kind of get his fitness back. And Elliott's, you know, obviously after Brentford's been taken out of the limelight. So I would go with Elliott. But then it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because, you know, I think obviously Cater takes the other place, but then, you know, behind both of them, do you keep Fabinho? I mean, it feels like a bit of a toss-up between him and Henderson, who have both been pretty woeful of late, but it's one of them. Do you just try and play him into form? But then, obviously, as Klopp says, you know, so many minutes last season and obviously so far this year, do you just take them out? But I'll go Fabinho, Keita, Elliott, just for some hope of some structure in that midfield.
Yeah, Curtis Jones was back on the bench, wasn't he, at the weekend, but didn't come on. I'm going to pick him, actually, in my front three. So I'm going to go Salah, Gakpo and Curtis Jones as the front three, Kiefer. I'll come back to you first on this one. What's your front three?
We're hoping that Nunes is obviously as close as it sounds. I'd probably just throw him back in, to be fair. Might be a bit irresponsible, but it doesn't feel like... Liverpool massively missed him on Saturday. So I would go Salah, Nunes, and Gakpo, but obviously to change, if obviously Nunes, I imagine, if he hasn't already trained or doesn't train later and obviously misses out, in that case, I would expect Oxlade-Chamberlain or maybe, as you say, Curtis Jones.
Yeah, Gorsty, which way for you? I think for me, even if Nunes is kind of fit, I probably wouldn't risk him, but which way do you want to go?
Yeah, I don't think he is going to be fit, judging from what Klopp was saying in the press conference, but... I did toy with the idea of putting Elliott on the right and Salah down the middle and Gakpo on the left, but I think I'm going to go with Jones on the left, Gakpo down the middle again and Salah on the right.
And then Cheetah finishes off. Which way are you going with it?
Yeah, just on the off chance that Nunes is fit, I've written him down. I just think he's one of those players that if it's not a risk, that he would like to get some rhythm into him and obviously opportunities for goals. And Gakpo again, you know, get him involved in the team as much as he can. And maybe give Salah a rest and give Doku a run out, because I think he definitely deserved it in that little cameo we saw against Brighton. And every time he's played so far this season, I'd like to see more of him.
Yeah, I think we'll certainly see some minutes from him at some point, I would have thought. But let's finish with our match predictions then. Obviously, a very, very difficult game to predict, given we don't quite know what the teams are going to be for each of these sides. I'll start with 2-1 to Wolves on a cheery note. Gorsty, what do you reckon?
I've decided to stop doing a Mark Lawrenson and just saying Liverpool are going to win every game. And I think that was the last draw from me on Friday. But I have tipped them to go through. I think they might win if it goes to penalties. And I think we might see a 1-1 draw.
Kiefer, what do you reckon?
It's not going to be short of goals, is it? So I'll go 2-1 Liverpool. I'm not sure where those goals come from, though. But I think they'll just go through and obviously... I doubt it'll be within 90 minutes, but we'll see.
Interesting. And Lynchy, to finish us, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I like 2-1 Wolves. I think Liverpool are just going to make a few changes. They'll be a bit more disjointed and yeah, just the form at the minute. It's just very hard to see them winning the game again. I'm sure they will, but yeah, not maybe not this one.
Yeah, I'm sure they will at some point, but quite when that happens, I'm not too sure. But we shall leave it there for today's podcast. Then all the build-up in all of the usual places. We'll catch you all later.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.